Okay, thanks for coming. This talk's just about the known brand, the two possible situations we have ourselves in, defining exactly what we're doing with the known brand, what it means to our users, what it means to our audience, and what it means to us, and also whether or not we think adoption or credibility is better. I'll have to discuss that a bit. It's a bit of a hard trick and a hard position we're in. A lot of distributions rebrand GNOME so that they can sort of claim a bit of presence of the desktop. I think that is fair game if they're redistributing it. The reason being is it gives them, it gives us more market share. More people are more familiar with our products. This is a good thing that they are able to rebrand it so that we can do it. But what's to encourage them to keep using the GNOME brand? And we want to think, how do we get ourselves established as a credible entity? So each time a distro makes a decision to pull their own brand, they actually have to think about hard about whether they're actually losing some value. So, all right, let's go through some stuff. All right, this page here on the LabWiki, it pretty much establishes what we are visually as a brand, what people see as GNOME, and how to represent it. Now, right now we've got the foot as the presence, as our logo, as our graphic, so that people go, okay, this is the GNOME foot, this is the GNOME logo. And this graphic actually gets replaced through the majority of distributions that provide GNOME. So what's the purpose of using this mark? That's pretty obvious. And using the derivatives of this mark, that's also pretty obvious. But Why is it being rebranded, and do we think that's a good thing? Has anyone got an opinion on it? The rebranding of GNOME. No? Okay. GNOME is rebranded by distributions, which means that logo marks, as well as other supporting graphics, desktop themes, and also icons and typography, different metaphors like what's in the system menu, they also all get replaced. So what's the reason for this from the distro side of point of view? Well, that's obvious. They need to get more brand presence for their own product and also the work they've done in preparing this software and maintaining it for their users. Now, what have we got to invite these distributions to actually keep the known brand, to keep it as a standpoint of credibility, and also keep it as a point of attribution back to the developers of the known product? We stand currently at a bit of a crossroads. We've got a point at which we might want to facilitate more the rebranding of GNOME so that we can create an appealing product for different audiences and different cultures, or do we want to actually better define the GNOME brand so that people are drawn to it as a point of a single product, so that people think, oh, it's got GNOME, that's awesome, I know how to use that, or that's great, I can identify that with quality. Or is it so much to a point that, okay, it's running a familiar desktop, and we will need that market share, so we're going to facilitate rebranding to the point at which you can put GNOME in places that you hadn't imagined. I don't actually think it's a choice, but I do think it's something that we need to have a definitive position on, or at least discuss here. So, yeah.
Do you think that the reason that other distributions choose to override the brand is purely because they want to market themselves in that position, or do you think that there's some aspect of the current brand that they dislike?
It's a bit of two things. I think it's mainly because we give them a canvas to, we facilitate the rebranding of our product. Now, I'm not saying that we should actually be aggressive in maintaining our brand, but I'm asking, should we? So when we provide a whole heap of pix maps in various parts of the system, and they're maintaining the packages that install the software that rely on those, we're actually saying, hey, you are now able to rebrand them. We're giving them a canvas, and they're using that to actually place their product in a more prominent way. The advantages are screenshots are more easily familiar. The desktop metaphors possibly tie back to images used in documentation or their own brand product marketing. Also, they have competitors that are doing a similar approach on the desktop, so they might want to differentiate themselves. And these are things we have to consider. Another thing we have to consider is also cultural preferences. So if we have a particular culture that might require GNOME and they want it to be a certain aesthetic, we should really think, well, do we need to make our desktop fluid enough to move like that, to move and to be able to be appealing to the people and to make derivatives of GNOME visually. But see, we are providing an avenue for people to do this, and particularly distros use it as a brand exercise. I think that's a good thing, and the only reason why I do is simply because of adoption. They are more focused on marketing their products because they have an agenda behind it, or because it's something they put work into, and they think that, you know, here's our canvas for advertising, so let's actually get the attribution that we deserve. So I'm not saying that which way is right or wrong, rebranding or not. I don't think it's a problem to deal with, but I think it's an area that we need to focus on. So what's everybody's opinion of it, good or bad? I'll get a raise of hands, good or bad, I guess. I'll give a count because this is a democratic way to do things. Who thinks that it's a good thing that we facilitate rebranding on the desktop? Holy crap. Who thinks that this is a lot of trouble for the desktop and that attribution should be going to the GNOME project? Who thinks that this is a bit of a threat to the integrity of our project? Much less, but thank you. That's, oh my god, I sound biased. Yo. Yeah. Yeah.
I'd say, I'd say that the reason why is neither in some ways. The impression I get is that you can divide most desktops into applications, which people care about, and then the stuff around it, which is the desktop. And I think for most users, they're probably, it's in some ways unnecessary to let them know that what they're using is GNOME. Mm. You know, what they care about is OpenOffice and Firefox and Inkscape and things like that. Whereas everything around it often just kind of just denigrates into whatever distribution that they're using. So
yeah.
The desktop and everything around it is either Ubuntu or Fedora or, you know, OpenSolaris or whatever. So I just wonder, I get the impression that the reason why distros do that is, so the value in their distro is this integration and the ability to run these branded applications on that desktop.
Mm.
And I wonder whether we need to change that.
Well, there's actually three things at play. In that case, you mentioned the projects actually being the important thing to the users. There's the collaboration of the GNOME project around the software that's being organized, and there's also the brand guidelines that it sets upon those projects. And then on top of that, the final say comes down to the distributors. So it seems as if the process is diffused from application developers to desktop down to the distribution. And that's not a bad thing. I know that for the community perspective, it's much better to have an identifiable GNOME project so that we can actually sync our efforts so that software gets released on time. And I think that for us, this is a great thing to have that presence. The question is really, do we want to facilitate the ability to get more market share by actually opening up the projects to be more easily available? And I'll talk about the technical reasons and the technical things we can do to accomplish this. Do we want to make it easier for distros to rebrand us culturally, based on brand, make it so that they can market it. You know, derivatives are a good thing, I think. But exactly how far do we want to go, and are we demolishing our brand?
Well, the only thing I thought was in terms of market share. I remember when I was part of the KDE project, my view back then was we should be pushing KDE and not Mandrake or SUSE or whatever.
Hmm.
The operating system underneath it, let's say Linux as an example, is irrelevant. In my mind back then, it was KDE was the thing that I cared about. And the thing I discovered was that, you know, just even though that kind of makes sense in theory, it doesn't work that way because obviously there's companies pushing brands and they've got marketing budgets that's going to push those brands forward. And I doubt the GNOME project can ever compete with that kind of marketing approach.
Yeah, so the question is, do we want to leverage that sort of promotion?
Yeah.
So do we want to leverage it and then gain attribution while it's being leveraged? So like Jeff mentioned yesterday, that's happening in the marketing for the mobile phone industry is that GNOME is a feature. It's on the box product. We've seen this before, and it's happened with distros on the desktop, and plenty of them have actually added GNOME, OpenOffice, Mozilla, and this has been a feature set, even, you know, again, it's been on the box of plenty of products, which has been great. And I think that that's something we might want to encourage. We might want to encourage the quality of, you know, this product and the fact that, oh, this is actually a familiar user interface. Because distro to distro, people aren't going to be sure whether or not it's worth their while making a leap to something that arguably supports their language better or arguably supports the technology they're trying to use better. What they're trying to get at is it familiar to me? Is it quality? And do we want to represent that quality? Is that where Gnome stands as a brand? Is that what it means to us? So hands up if you think Gnome is sort of like quality control for desktop software gathered around the same ideals.
Supposed to?
As opposed to flaming mailing lists of love. Yeah, there's no contrast to that, actually. That was my perspective, and I was trying to see if I had anybody agreeing. No?
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
I think I personally like the more recognition of that. I've been given by the conversation of the distribution of funds, too. But I can see that in some distribution, like Ubuntu, that version of the same different things and download and change things around. Sometimes people might not associate with that as much anymore.
Yeah,
they might be confused and they go, oh, no, and then they use it. They go, oh, but they're not what they used to last time.
Well, that's once they get down to the application level, I think they usually get familiar with it. But it's not necessarily a bad thing that we have this choice.
It's whether or not reaching critical mass or reaching attribution is a higher priority, because currently it is still very hard to create derivatives on the desktop. There is no particular project aimed around that.
Yeah, hi. Just want to add, I mean, it's a very fine line to walk. I mean, KDE, they have in their help menu by default, they have an entry called about KDE. And I think Red Hat patched that out during Red Hat Linux 8. But I'm definitely a big supporter of attributing GNOME for all the great software that we include in Fedora from GNOME. I mean,
okay.
And also from a development point of view, it's easier if the users who want to get involved and actually start contributing, it's much better if they start contributing to GNOME instead of saying, I want to write this Fedora-specific like application for doing XYZ. So certainly the concept of making users aware there's an upstream project going on.
Yeah, channeling contributions through the brand is a powerful thing. Usually people do get caught up in bugzillas of distributions, and it does take a while for it to filter through.
Yeah.
I don't think that's actually that bad of a problem, but I do see the immediate need to be able to recognize the source of what somebody's using. The question is, how do we now facilitate through the brand the integrity of GNOME so that people can also find out how do we do it as simple as possible, and also how do we also facilitate the liquid brand, the liquid desktop that we're actually trying to provide, this being for derivatives for different nationalities and derivatives for commercial products. So which do they seem as threats? Does anybody consider that a contrasting thing, a conflict, that if we facilitate too much plugability, that we're going to actually lose attribution in the end? I don't think it is, but I'm wondering to see if anybody's cautious of it, just you know, in case.
I think it takes a lot of work to completely change the field desktop. I know I want to look at somebody wants to completely change the way panel functions. It creates something that acts a lot like a Windows XP star bar with a big green, lots of blue gradient. And it would be a lot of work, you would lock code. So fundamentally, you know, they're identifiable, you know where you are. It would actually be nice if certain things, if you have distributors, even if they ship their own icon things, you had a button which would go back to default. The first thing I do, I install a machine, I go, what the hell are these ugly icons? And go back to the GNOME Tango icon, because it looks so much better. And the nice thing is, you're
okay, that's a really, really good point, especially since you mentioned the defaults that we have. Now, the defaults, when it comes to artwork, the default look and feel that we provide, the default palette hasn't changed incredibly, and also the default icon guidelines, which I think are still valid currently. What is the point of creating a set that a lot of distros are going to rebrand anyway, when they don't yet facilitate enough for creating derivatives. What I mean is we're giving them static elements, so we're going to be giving them static, you know, icon assets, and if they don't match their brand aesthetic, they're either going to die or they're going to be left and giving you an ugly looking desktop. So that's something that's a pet project of mine, trying to find the best way to toolchain a derivative looking visual desktop. And that's,
I think it's also been nice certain aspects of doing tech. So the adapt moment, which
It's also with Vivian and which one is it?
I know, who's it again?
And then Peter?
It might be that because you actually find out the information about the brand backend.
Exactly.
So even if you're running some majorly, even when you're running some majorly, like very versions of genomics, some people are seriously changing things. I still remember Red Hat 8 and the IU language was getting as you tell.
Yeah, the blue card thing was an interesting brand exercise.
Yeah, I don't remember any mistakes. I think Red Hat
was a pencil. Truth be told, I started using those seriously because of the blue card branding effort. I finally, this sounds silly because I know the difference between KDE and the desktop complex that followed, but seeing a commercial entity actually push that much weight behind the brand exercise gave to me, visually as an uninformed user, validity. So it gave me a sort of sense of confidence that this was something that was going to be treated. I actually thought at the time that such a change was facilitated properly, so as in, actually, it was the Dell Vector Icon, because they went up to 48 or 48. But back then, you remember, that was really fast. Back then, it's like click, 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 you know? I don't want to enlarge it even more, because my material crashed, but it looked like the Vector. But that's another thing that we can facilitate. Currently, you know, RSVG, the external style patch that can happen, well, colors can be named with classes through SVG. Now, it's not that RSVG is a good thing to use. It's actually a tiny bit slower because what you're doing is you're both rendering bitmap and then displaying the bitmap. So it is a double footprint in a way. But using an SVG file for icons, just small illustrations and areas, you can change the palette or change different parts of the aesthetic, like the stroke width, blurring, or maybe the, you know, things that we might be able to provide that would make it nicer for somebody to change the way that GNOME is. So a sort of developer's guide to, hey, start here if you want to change, start changing GNOME, and what things can be kept. The benefits of doing this, the benefits to actually providing assets that are dynamic. So we have the logo, the start of SVG, the one for the main foot, which is in the user share icons. The benefit to having these sorts of things documented in the one place and also underneath the one particular project is that we can maintain a lot. We can maintain a lot for our users, and we can also maintain a lot for our credibility and also the familiarity. If you've decided on a visual metaphor for a particular application, and somebody needs to redo it, and you've provided a few ways to change the aesthetic to match this distribution brand, well, in that case, the visual metaphor might stay alive. It's money based with a speech bubble for your instant messaging application. That visual metaphor might not be immediately relevant to the person who's just been paid to do icons. This is, you know, some sort of Linux company, they, you know, graphic industry kind of have a background in messing up icons-ish. So
that is something that we might want to think about. But also, who loves the foot? Cool. That's great. Sweet. Okay. So we use the foot in the taskbar of the desktop. The default desktop background right now doesn't contain the foot. Actually, box products that do use the foot is a good thing. We have terms and conditions on the brand page of the GNOME Wiki for how to actually use our emblem. But what we don't really have is an immediate way on the GNOME front page, an immediate way of actually going, hey, here's our trademark, here's our guidelines, here's a press kit. These things are happening. If you're on GNOME marketing list, you should really start flaming each other. because that's something to come into play. Has anybody got a particular example where you've used GNOME but have, well, this is, okay, you would have all used GNOME and realized it's GNOME, where you've used GNOME but actually thought that the changes made to it were a bit of a decay, were a bit bad for the desktop? Okay.
I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay.
but yeah, just to expand on that point, we did in Fedora change to the default setup, the two panels in GNOME. Prior to that, I always manually changed the huge taskbar we have in GitHub.
That's yeah, that is human interaction. That's not brand. That's a whole different shit fight. That would last forever talking about human interaction and communication design. What we're more concerned about is sort of brand familiarity, presence. I know I pushed on visual metaphors, which does push on that, but let's just say, what's a good example? There's external projects. You see the Tango Free Desktop project. That's a separate project for independently creating assets to use on the desktop. That hasn't been adopted completely by GNOME. Derivatives have been made of it, funnily enough. Now, that might not be a project that we want to mirror. It might be a project that we want to assist or implement properly. So implement the specification guidelines they have and also fix a couple of... Sorry? The icon spec? Fedora does, yeah.
They did across the board. It took a while because the first one did it every growth.
Yeah.
And it's pretty much a cycle. So it's a big structure as well.
It should be
completed
to
everyone.
So that's cool. It is not being developed. Yeah. And what we maintain is a bit of a delta on the Tango set. The great thing about this is we're actually doing what we've just been talking about. We're maintaining a delta over an upstream set of icons, you know, like, and we've just changed the palette around a bit to match with the aesthetic we've got. The aesthetic hasn't actually really been discussed. Boston this year, and then Boston last year, we went and talked about what should the base color for the wallpaper be. This is a conversation that took 2 days, okay? And we ended up with green. Does everyone like green?
Yeah.
Well, we spent 2 days. You had your chance. But yeah, it's the considerations for actually applying the brand haven't been resolved to a solid state. That's something that if you're looking to contribute on, I suggest you jump on the GNOME marketing list and start, you know, happening soon. Yo.
Do you think that there's a separation between brand tokens and users and developers?
Yes.
I get the question of the users, they don't generally, they're not generally that bothered about brand. One of the things that they specifically care about, so for example, you know, a user might know what Microsoft Word is, like a lot of users, the person that's worked, they don't expect them to work for it.
We hit the project name. We hit the project name and we go straight to the brand with that project. Whereas when a distro gets hold of it, when the desktop project gets hold of it, we actually mention the application purpose. It's better for translation to be able to name an application accordingly. I think it is a good thing as, you know, Inkscape gets renamed Vector Graphics Illustrator, is that right?
Yeah.
And GIMP gets renamed Image Manipulation Program, which is very
good.
Yeah,
I think one of the best is the sort of learning development platform.
Yeah.
Does that kind of make it feel like, make the whole thing feel like a really rock solid development platform?
It does.
Like,
yeah.
You hear about clarity and talent and all that kind of thing. And you feel like you've got effective strong components.
And there are good examples of that in the real world. There's New York City Services Department, you know, New York's bravest, New York's finest, New York's strongest. I don't know them all. But I think that the people involved in those areas of work are proud of their area. But together they actually apply the brand of the city or as the services the government provides for them. And that's something that maybe we want to look at. Do we want to create a known derivative for, you know, development, something, a flag that we can wave while marketing gets to actually use, well, we'll see this word a lot, but maybe a marketing gets to use the word as in known, you know, so it has known, just like the iPhone has OS X that you can't have it, but the same sort of thing. I think
I think that's really a good point. I don't exactly know what the end result of that would be. Is that we have the developer page on the known website just rendered that way? Is that that's right. The brand is definitely more relevant right now for developers than it is for users, and therefore the difference between what they're using and the ability to contribute aren't clearly defined. So that's why usually they'll end up in the bug field or their favorite distro, which they're trying to discourage, but it would be cool if users had that immediate understanding of the full mechanics of the effort, which we can't really give unless we sort of visually and definitively define each of those. So the end result of this, because I don't want to get all airy fairy and stuff, is the developer page on the known website, which is being redone. Are you suggesting that we have a different visual presence for both, and we sort of make sure that we maintain this hold on project pages, developer pages, and also the user and community website? Yeah, it needs to be mapped out in a brand-related way.
In kind of the same way, I remember when we started with social security and the shower and the logo there, you could put a bottle in the front as part of the juice field, apparently.
Yeah.
So they're pushing that brand there. It's the same as you say about having a foot, maybe we can box. But
yeah.
In terms of development thing, you think we need to make the platform feel like a strong platform.
I really think the concept, the newest, finest, bravest, that sort of would work. And I think that also it would work to encourage. We don't really push the known brands that much. I know we have to defend its use, but it is an open project, and more attribution is a good thing. We need to find out how to push our efforts to actually get developers, oh, you're considering using part of our stack. Well, did you know that you can use our logo? Although here's the thing, how liberal are we with that? Can they use their logo to kind of concept on a budget product? I'm kind of cool with that. I like crap.
I think what John was trying to get at is the concept of platform brand, the way Apple do, where Apple has like core image and core audio.
The core animation and stuff.
Core animation, core files, core foundation. And they look very strong with female. People are like, oh, what's this about? This is core audio, maybe. This is very strong like asking the platform brand. So we kind of, even KDE is going that way now with all their vaporware, Plasma, and Phonon. Phonon,
yeah.
It's like Phonon, and
Yeah.
I think we can see the platform branding, like, Cairo, how Bebop, GCU.
And that's not being carried away by it, because I seriously went to a Plasma talk a couple of months ago. I just learned anything, but I didn't actually find any content at all.
Yeah.
And I know there's been plenty of good development.
I went to
the
same talk about Plasma actually more, and I saw a bunch of screenshots.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that, but you do want to do.
Yeah, so we're not looking to distract people. We're not looking for total brand cards. What we're looking for is some pride in what we produce. And we're looking for unification visually, and we're looking for unification through the brand. So we've got the known foot, which is a good association for each project to have. Why don't we see that on every project page? We have the known our project down the bottom. Most project pages give a attribution back to that. But we don't really see, oh, there's the, there's our logo type, there's our logo.
Sometimes being quite a lot of brand pages on Blogspot and that. They've been given the normal look and feel.
That's true. We do have websites that are doing that. That's a great thing that's already happening.
I think a final problem is you can ask them to website do that. And people aren't sure about their right to use the logo, so a lot of people change it with their logo, and then maybe it doesn't feel right, and they feel the colors, and these are programming like that.
I actually think it's turning out pretty good. Like Unix, the Evolution project page, is that right?
Well,
Unix, the Evolution project page, don't we? Yeah, see, that's exactly great. I think maybe from an artwork point of view, there needs to be a focus for us to actually get together, provide some project page templates, some tools, and some guidelines for this. Should, you know, this is totally cool to find your project page and totally encourage it. Also, you know, when creating a package, please place some assets in the share and please make sure that you talk to these people if you would like to get your project teams up. I know that you can actually go to the marketing list and request an icon, or you can go onto the Tango website, which is great. To the Tango IRC and get an icon. We didn't think it sold it out. And it is, a lot of it's already defined on the wiki, and I'd like to just draw attention to it and find out how do we keep drawing attention to the how to get your project known. How to get your project, you know, like, welcome to the family, sort of, you know, really. How do we invite people who are already participating in the Gnome stack to, you know, be proud of what they're doing and to actually have a push underneath our brand? We need to leverage this or we're going to lose it. Because we're not actually applying our brands in a lot of places that we should. I raised the concern of distros first up, but this is a lot all over the board. You know, what are we going to do to encourage youth? And, you know, who's going to maintain that? Not like, you know, who? Like, yeah, hope, shit, we need to be accountable. So, has anyone got any ideas on the best way to invite and enforce? No?
Yeah. We have a really bad ability of changing the theme every two release cycles.
Yeah.
Whether that's the background or the icon theme or the window board theme or, you know, widget theme, all that sort of stuff, we need to actually take what Facebook or Ubuntu or whatever have done. They started off with a theme and then evolved it rather than continuously rewrite it. So you
and
can the same branding of them.
Actually, I think you're exactly right. I think without anybody intending it, our visual can kind of have that sort of viral behavior. And some people hate it, and I have this love-hate thing with what's happening. But a lot of the time, you'll be surprised. The G-Perfection sort of theme work that's been done, and the Gnome Palette from the HIG site, these things aren't going away, because they're sort of like, you know, we've got this matte palette that's got a very sort of desaturated look and feel, and it's meant to be a bit more loungy, a bit more inviting. I think we need to evolve that, get some line work behind it, get it to actually flesh out in a you know, more of an etiquette way, like a real, you know, solid piece of work. Because yeah, you give a kid a pony in 6 months, he wants a motorcycle. I know what you mean, it is going to evolve.
I mean, that's one of the big sort of hurdles for the distribution of Germany in different parts. We can take that risk of changing our product all the time. And the look and feel if we go with the Gnome branding, so that's why we've always
Yeah, that's right. And I think that maybe double invite distributions to keep the default theme on there. I know a lot, you know, pretty much all of them do, but it's not immediately noticeable as, hey, you know, this is the official thing for what you're actually using, guys.
To be fair, regarding, like, in a large theme, I think it's when we actually changed the theme, and it took a long time. Before we were running whatever simple, we've only been running one Kilos now for 3 releases. And it evolved, but it hasn't been majorly revamped. It went over Kairos, it's putting stuff some gradients and some specular highlights. But it still looks fairly similar. You just have problem that all the vendors that sell were shipping their own themes and no one was really sure which fault was unless they were Vivian.
And I learned
from the sources, but
One thing that was addressed previously as well is that a lot of vendors have developers that are part of the Gnome community, and that because the way that everything is implemented, you know, the way that we've given them a canvas that's not necessarily all the names, means that people can't dual create brands. So people can't actually develop. Well, in this case, that's not true, because a very great example was Pingo, creating a brand for known, creating a brand for their product. So that's the sort of thing we want to encourage. People who are spending time to improve the product through their distribution or for their box, you know, through a commercial entity, but being able to hand back some of the changes and knowing exactly what steps need to take place before they hand it back. I mean, if a project has something that needs to be changed, the aesthetic needs to be managed, let's get tutorials up for it. I think that's a good idea. So,
you want to start with a basic template for a distribution to create stuff for, then you know, that's be much more consistent probably than starting from scratch.
Yeah, and I think even helping out distributions by saying, hey, this is a great way to create for your distribution's aesthetic, and here's the way to reverse engineer it back. Small things, and I know that that's something I need to spend some time on. But what I first came to establish is the distribution being a threat. And the distribution rebranding thing is a threat. And I'm glad to hear that people are more focused on adoption than actually the shit fight between, hey, that's our stuff.
Any distribution is really, well, I know from our consultant point of view, I mean, just to maintain it, the idea of overhead of maintaining your own theme, your own icons, theme engine, all that sort of stuff, it's huge.
Mm.
And it's worth it for the brand exercise. It's worth it for the marketing. I don't know whether it's a big thing though, because most of your users are just going to be looking at Firefox and Firefox and stuff like that, and actually not caring about the desktop.
I know. It's an interesting game. I think mainly it's just facilitating that change as good as possible and hoping that stuff comes back. And I think that people are willing to put in that effort. I mean, it could... Oh yeah, it's all good. Yeah, so facilitating the ability to create an asset, create it for your project, create it for your distribution, and then return it back to the project without too much effort. Or who to send it to. The best thing is we've got a bunch of hackers, graphic hackers, who are more than willing to support Illustration. The rules are given the okay. So if somebody's gone to all the work of designing up their GDKRC thing for their distro and got some unique ideas to do with white space and as well as the types that it's using, well, yeah, as long as the all clear is given, people would happily port that back to the known aesthetic. We want to be able to pull it all together. And I think that's something that people working on their own scene need to think about. That make sure that it's okay to send that to the project, make sure that you just announce that, you know, this is released for known as well. And also that, you know, it's totally cool to do that. Because we'll take it anyway. Yeah.
It sounds like there's been a lot of discussion about there's a gut feeling that brands should be recognised and important.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I'm not quite picking up on, and maybe it's because I'm not familiar with the pages that you've referenced on the known wiki, is exactly the purpose behind it in many ways. It sounds like there's a feeling that we should have brand recognition, but there doesn't seem to be any justification in some ways as to why. So for example, the point you just made about maintaining this kind of stuff is quite an overhead for distribution.
Yeah.
I think we need to give distributions a reason why they're going to push that brand. And to go back to the development side, you know, a lot of distributions, particularly desktop distributions, offer a desktop that's good for their target market. Enterprise or consumer users, but they don't offer a particularly consistent development platform. And the brand could maybe make sense there, and that might. So the notion of saying to a distributor, if you push our brand and you push the various subsets of our brand like Cairo and Viva kind of thing, that's going to bring more people, more developers over to your platform, and that's a reason to push that brand. I think just kind of. There's waving our hands in the air and saying to distributors, you should really do this as a good citizen. In a market that already doesn't have a lot of money, doesn't it?
And I think you'll find that with a lot of strong brands. As soon as you have presence, you have people wanting to be part of that. So as soon as we actually push the idea that this is a platform for developers, or this is a brand work we need to do, It's not just to get pride. I know it's more deep than that. I know we need to be proud of what we're doing and think much to the start. Having one way to look under that, I think what we really need is just some sort of more than attribution, some sort of, okay, we're valid, you know, we are not valid, we are known, you know. We are implementing this, and this is associated with quality. If we're associated with quality and we're also associated with a well-organized project, I think that we're going to get all of that stuff for free. We're not going to have to push too much for people to adopt our work. So making the marketing kit a bit more polished, making the brand book a bit more polished, making sure that the project pages and the developer section of the website, making sure that these things are intact is something that we need to focus our energy on so that we get this presence, so that people associate them with quality and with the open desktop.
I say that much of that is definitely the early adopters. I mean, that's basically most of the applications that we're seeing and known today are early adopters. I mean, we'd like to think that in 3 years, 5 years, loads of applications are being developed for those, most of which we'll probably never hear of because so many applications are being developed for those.
Yeah.
Whereas at the moment, we can probably all count all of the known applications that are being developed, certainly the major ones. And if you take projects, the big problem with projects like Xbox and Banshee and Rhythmbox and things like that, certainly many of these projects, I've never seen them kind of sharing that pride that they're a known application and that they're built on the known developer platform, you know. It'd be nice to kind of encourage within the community, maybe on the planet and things like that, for us to do that more. And we're as guilty of that as Jacosha, you know, we've never, although we're proud to be a known application, we've never really talked to people about that. Mm-hmm. And it'd be nice, because obviously as more applications come along, it's going to happen less and less in the future. You know, when Joe Block reports his crappy CMS to...
It happens with a lot of projects, particularly some that I'm interested in, is that this project needs its own presence for its developers to be proud of it. Now, we need to try and encourage it to be compatible with the same presence. And I mean this very loosely, but Blender or Inkscape, for example. Now, we have a splotch for our logo, and Blender has a 3D B with a poster coming out of it. These things can be changed into the GNOME aesthetic while, you know, used on the project. It could be a different look and feel. Inkscape loves the whole, you know, black, and recently we've got a line for like the website and stuff. But there's no way to directly associate it with GNOME because the palette is so completely different. And this is a small thing. If you're a user or a casual user or hobbyist visiting a project website and you don't see a visual similarity between maybe something you've seen before, another project that you're using on your computer, or maybe even the GNOME website, if you don't see that similarity, you might not link them to the same group of people or to the same core name. And more often than not, we're sharing the same libraries, we're using, you know, pretty much all the same tools, and it's normally on the same desktop. So it's kind of pushing this is a good thing. So just for now, yeah, the GNOME website being worked on, and I think that everyone should know if you have a project and you need something illustrated for it, or you know, you're interested in defining the GNOME brand, contact the intro, that would be great. And contact the marketing list, because this is where the discussion's happening right now. It's not happening in a distro-art IRC channel, it's not happening on a distro-art mailing list. It does happen there, but for GNOME, we really need to actually, you know, define what's out and then give it away and make it fluid. So, is that it? We're all done? Yeah.
Is there any drive to have some degree of consistency in pronunciation? Because I believe that the original pronunciation was GNOME, and then you hear people, especially more recently, you're saying GNOME, and I've heard people saying GNOME,
yeah,
and a few others, then I can imagine it would become confusing in a conversation if you mention, like if I say in a conversation, I'm using GNOME.
Yeah, I know that. And I say GNOME and GNOME, just like I say Linux and Linux, you know, and I'm Linux, and so crappy English is our speciality. But I don't think that does interfere, but I think, yeah, pronunciation is a hard thing to transcend, especially over the internet when, you know, you're talking about text. This is actually all covered, including the capitalization or capital to lowercase on the wiki. So if you look at the live GNOME wiki, that's covered. But at the same time, it's not immediately recognizable. what we really need is for you as a developer to start here. Here's our brand. Here's the way that our project is focused. And here's your marketing materials. And here's your affiliate account. So I know that it should be the sort of initiation sort of steps that we cover, some of the fundamentals, pronunciation, spelling, ways to use the trademark. That's not pushed to people as they begin hacking. I don't know, some people might think it gets in the way, but I think it's a very valuable thing. People start feeling part of the community if we get to them quick. So when we're doing the development, I'd like everybody to be involved in actually getting the content off the ground and getting what the user is going to have a look at when they start wanting to develop nodes. Yo.
Do you believe there's a risk of trying to more closely associate products such as new state
Yeah, I'll repeat.
Do you believe that there's a risk more closely associating say with the project that you will at the time?
There we go. Do you believe that there's a risk that you will possibly lose or not gain newer users because who are using other desktop managers because they see that they have the perception that Inkscape is not available for SDWM or for Flexbox or KDE or SSD or
No, I don't think so. I think the case that you can digest whatever part of our project that you want, but still being able to participate in that. What we're talking about is representing the quality of what we've organized together. And I know that there's one question raised about if you have two applications that compete in the same space, but they're both following, HIV guidelines, or they're both following the same project. I don't think it's wrong to call them both unknown projects. And I don't think there's a disincentive for people from different desktops or distributions or different environments or different platforms, to really discriminate against that. That's not something that users do, although there is a tendency to be attracted to getting what's native. The Apple guy who buys the Apple hardware, and it's something that you might enjoy using. We might enjoy leveraging it that way, but of course it's always the user's choice, and I don't think that's going to stop somebody from using what they need. I think I'm done then. Thanks very much, guys. Go on to the Nerd Marketing mailing list.
And also check out the LiveNerd Wiki. It's going to be getting a workout. There's also plans to revamp the world.nerd.org, which are in various states. So thank you. Sorry, one more question.
That's right. And going to the brand pages on the LiveNerd Wiki is where that's currently being discussed. I check it weekly, so I'll be jumping on whatever that is. So thanks very much. Done.